This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Tim Rivera from Ohio Living. Good morning.
Hey, I'm glad you found me.
I'm glad I found you too. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna have to like beg him to call me or something. No. The things behind the scenes that people never know about. But anyways, good
They'll
morning.
Never know.
Thanks for being on the phones with us today. I'll pass it to you to share what God's laid on your heart today.
Sure. Thanks. I appreciate it. We see a parable that this teaches here in Luke 18. It says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. It says, but the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God, Jesus said. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, this story is interesting because it's one of the parables that Jesus teaches that is extremely believable. It's actually kind of 50-50 on whether people believe that this is actually or it's actually a real situation. And a lot of his parables, you know, are including things that are impossible, you know, camel through the eye of the needle sort of thing. But in this particular, parable, it's very believable that this actually happened and did happen a lot. And a lot of the emphasis, when you just hear it for the first time, you can think that this is about the sinner. This is about like how to approach God when you pray, you know, to go humble instead of like proud. And that's important. That's part of it. But the real emphasis here, the key is at the very beginning, because it says, then Jesus told to everyone else. So you got to know the audience, right? So the audience that Jesus is telling this story to are people that actually did this. They looked down at other people. They believed that their own works, that their own awesomeness somehow gave them a hierarchy of up the total in the kingdom of God. And that's the important thing we got to remember, is that there is absolutely no grading scale. You know, God is no respecter of persons. We are all the same. We're all human beings and we're all connected. And here's what happens. You know, the Pharisee here that had this confidence in his own righteousness and scorned everyone else, he's just like any single religious-type person. Because here's what happens. The more that you start to, like, pray, read your Bible, go to church, and you start accumulating this knowledge and this, like, system of religiosity, this system of faith, and you can say, well, I'm not religious, I have a relationship with Jesus, you know. But it doesn't really matter because there's some sort of thing inside of us, this human tilt, this bend, to start to puff ourselves up and start to become proud. And we start to look at how awesome we are. I'm really getting this God down, you know, Jesus and coffee in the morning. And so the tendency is, the longer you've done this, the longer you've been a Christian or followed Jesus, the more you've gone to church, read your Bible, the more tempting it is to think that you're more advanced. And so Jesus is telling us, and I know he's challenging with this parable, this is real life. This is not even a parable. This is what happens day in day, and that is we look at other people instead of looking at them through God's eyes as the creator, saying this is a precious possession of mine that might be awing with things. We look at them and say, gosh, I can't believe they're struggling with that, or how could they possibly do that? And we start to have this bend inside of us where we start looking at ourselves as somehow achieving this advanced spirituality. So we got to be careful. We got to protect our heart and remember that the way that we see other people and the way that we see ourselves are really ultimately what the gospel comes down to, and that is that we've freely received the grace, we need to freely give it. Jesus said, in the same measure that we forgive others, the Father will forgive us. And so walking in forgiveness means not just when someone's offended you, but it means walking in the grace of looking for the best in people and not like thinking we're all that. Because honestly, the moment you think you're all that in a bag of chips, you know, it doesn't take too long before something comes along and knocks you down to your high horse. And so we gotta just walk in the love of Jesus and not in a judgmental spirit or in some superiority that can happen. And the longer you're in this journey of faith, the more you do, you know, read and understand scripture more and accumulate things. So it's just a common temptation. It happens not just in Christianity or religion. I mean, it happens in anything. Anything that you put your mind to, anything you get better at or invest more time into, you know, you start to become a little prideful in that. It happens, you know, whether it's a sport that, you know, you've been playing since you're 10 years old and you're just better at it. So you go to somebody and you're like, gosh, how can they stand like that? You know, I go to the batting cages with my daughters who play softball and I'm like, how does it stand like that at the plate? I've been playing baseball since I was, you know, before I can remember. Like, that is the weirdest stance I've ever seen. I know it sounds like a silly comparison, but it's those subtle things we drift away from looking at people with the eyes of God.
Good word. Thank you so much for sharing. Do you mind praying for our listeners?
No, not at all. God, I help you. We ask for your help. I hope you would continue to allow us to catch ourselves, Lord, in those moments where we're not humble, those moments where we start thinking that we've got things figured out. I'm reminded of Paul's example, that as he journeyed through life, he became more and more humble. First, he was the chief of all Jews, then he was the chief of all Pharisees, and then later in life, he was the chief of all sinners. And so, Lord, help us follow that example, that we would learn to not look at ourselves more highly, but, God, we would actually look at ourselves as more in need of you. Not pathetic and with that disgraced feeling that maybe in this parable this sinner had where he couldn't even look up to heaven. Lord, we know that you accept us right where we're at, so I'm not asking that we would, you know, get a spirit of condemnation, because we know in you, Jesus, there is no condemnation. But of true humility, we would approach you knowing that everything we have just comes from you, God. Everything that we're thankful and grateful for, and ultimately your son Jesus and the forgiveness and the relationship we have with you because of him. So help us, Lord. God, all of us that are listening, God, help us just get a fresh picture of the grace that you've given us, God, and the fact that we can't boast. It's nothing in of ourselves, God. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're talking with Chaplain Tim Rivera of Ohio Living. And why don't you talk about Ohio Living?
Yeah, it's Ohio Living, home health and hospice. We are serving 11 counties in Northwest Ohio. A lot of people, honestly, are just sick and tired of going in and out of the hospital. They're sick and tired of dealing with medical conditions. And so whether it's our home health services or it's a terminal illness, and it's our hospice services, it's way much more than what usually people think. It's medical care right in your own home, wherever you call home. So that can include a, you know, skilled nursing facility, long-term care, assisted living apartments, you know, all the way to homes. And so we go and service people and care for them. And this quick story, I was talking with some of our team members yesterday. We had a patient within the last couple of years who was in a bad situation. We ended up getting her into a facility and the care she needed. She wasn't, you know, getting at home alone. And when we went and visited her, I'll never forget just holding her hand and looking into her eyes and saying, you know, you're special. You know, you're valuable. You matter. And me and one of the social workers were just caught off guard with how she could not believe it. She was like, why are you guys being so nice to me? I don't understand. No one's ever been nice to me like this. And it's just a reminder that people don't know that they're valued and that they matter. And so I always consider my job just a great honor and a privilege to be able to look people in the eye, people made in the image of God, and tell them that they're worth so much and that they're so valued and loved by their Creator. And so that's my role as a spiritual care coordinator. But yeah, if you need more information on our services, you can always call us. 419-865-1499 is our office number. And there's ways to serve. There's ways to volunteer. There's ways to find out about our services.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us, and we'll be talking with you more tomorrow.
All right. See you tomorrow. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. You too. God bless. That was Tim Rivera. He's the chaplain and a spiritual coordinator at the Ohio Living, and you can find more information at that phone number he gave, also ohioliving.org.
This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.